Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Let me ask you something. Did you enjoy going to the Nashville Cowboy Church today?
Yes.
That was really an unusual experience, wasn't it?
Yes.
I don't think any of us have been into anything like that. Has anybody been to a Cowboy Church before
yes.
today?
Yes.
Okay. Were they all basically the same?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we had a good time, and we worshiped the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just wanted to let you know that you're in for a treat this rest of this week with Brother Harry Yates coming to teach our Bible study. You'll just really be blessed in a very special way. So keep him in your prayers. He wasn't for sure that he was going to be able to come for the first session because he was supposed to have gone to Australia, but that didn't work out. And you heard him say this morning that he's going to England, I think, in the next few months. But anyway, keep him in your prayers, and I know he'll certainly appreciate that as well as those who minister with him. That's a great ministry there, and we're so thankful for it. Let me apologize to some of you because you've come up and talked to me, and I could not hear what you were saying. My hearing's just not what it used to be. So I'm like some of the rest of you. I guess my ears have just heard too much and been around in too many places, and I have a couple of hearing aids that they gave me from the Veterans Administration, and sometimes they work all right, and sometimes they don't. So if you come up to me and I don't respond to you right away, give me a loud yell, and I certainly will appreciate it. Let me just share something with you that I read the other day. I think we just need a good laugh along with everything else. There was a little story that I read, and I always love to read about what children do.
Amen.
And this was supposed to have been something that actually happened. I read it in a periodical that they put things in about what children say, and it's supposed to be truthful statements that they say. Now, this little boy was at the beach, and he was walking along the beach, and he saw a lady up there under a great big umbrella, you know, sitting on the beach. And so he went up to her, and he said, "Lady, can I ask you a couple of questions?" And she says, "Oh, yes." And he said, "Are you a Christian?" And she says, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a number of years. I gave my life to the Lord a number of years ago." He says, "Do you belong to the church?" And she says, "Oh, yes, I belong to the church." And she says, I attend as often as I possibly can." And he said, "Can I ask you one more question?" She says, "Yes." He says, "Do you believe in the Ten Commandments?" She says, "Oh, yes, I believe in the Ten Commandments." He says, "Well, I think you'll be all right. I'll let you hold my dollar while I go in swimming." He wanted to make sure she was all right to hold his dollar. And I can just see that happening, can't you? I mean, that's a kid, and at least somebody put something into his heart and his mind about the proper things in life, didn't they? Well, tonight our theme is discovering God's will for your life. Now, every one of us here, we feel like we have discovered God's will for our life, or at least we feel like we've discovered a part of His will for our life. Because every one of us are moving on up in years, some of us more than others. And we feel like that, we've discovered God's will for our life. But you know something? I don't know that we really have. Let me just ask you a personal question. I don't want you to answer it out loud. But I want you just to think about it for yourself. Have you, and I'm not talking about one person individually or anything, I'm talking about myself also. Have you really, in your lifetime, up to this point, really discovered God's will for your life? Think about that for a minute. And you know, Paul says to the Colossians here in the book of Colossians, in the letter of Colossians, he says to them several times that they need to be people that they are in Christ. Not just say that they love Christ. Not just say that they know Christ. Not just say that they are Christians. He says they need to be in Christ. Now, let me pose another question. Are you really in Christ? Am I really in Christ? Are we? Are we really in Christ? Are we really the people that Christ wants us to be in the world that we live in today? Have we done what Christ wants us to do today? Did we do it yesterday? Are we going to do it tomorrow? You know, Brother Yates today started meddling a little bit, didn't he? Yeah. Well, isn't that what Paul here's doing? Yes. Isn't that what I'm doing? I'm meddling. Yeah. But I'm not meddling, and Paul's not meddling, and Brother Yates was not meddling. It's God and the Spirit of God that's meddling. And we need to listen to it. We need to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. Let me read something to you that comes before the scriptures that we read tonight, because I think that's the way God would have me to speak to you tonight. In the scriptures that precede what was read tonight, in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, Listen to what Paul says here. He's talking about the centrality, the centerness, the meaningfulness, the significance of Christ. This is before he talks to them in the words that we heard read earlier. Notice what he says in verse number 15. Of that first chapter of Colossians. Listen to it. Listen to it real. Don't listen to it just with your mind, but listen to what God's Word is saying through Paul and through the Holy Spirit of God tonight out of this portion of God's Holy Word. It says here, and I'm reading from the Holman translation, I went off and I meant to bring my King James Version and I picked up the wrong Bible. This is all right, though. It says here, Paul is speaking about Christ. He says, He is the image of the invisible God. He also says that Christ, He is the firstborn. He is the one that is over all of creation. He is the one because of Him everything was created. He is the one who is in heaven and on the earth. He is the one that is visible and invisible. He is the one whether they're thrones or dominions, or whether they're rulers or authorities, He is in all things that have been created through Him, and they are created for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. Amen. He goes on and says, He is also the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything, for God was pleased to have all His holiness dwell in Him. Amen. And through Him to reconcile everything to Himself, making peace through the blood of His cross, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. Paul gives us a description here of who Christ really is. Amen. I mean, he gives us a description of everything that the Bible tells us about. He puts it into a few words under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and we see in these few passages of Scripture that Jesus Christ is everything. Jesus Christ is everything. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter who is a celebrity or who is the poor or whatever it might be. God, through Jesus Christ, is everything. And we're supposed to trust in Him. We're supposed to depend upon Him. We're supposed to have come to the point that we have given our lives in Christ. Have you done that? Have I done that? Do we live every day as Christians? Or do we sometimes make Christianity look like something that's not worthwhile? I mean, just think about it for just a few minutes. If we are in Christ, which Paul here says people should be, then we're supposed to be like Him, are we not? That means we're not supposed to be people in the world that make Christ look bad. We're supposed to be people in the world that never say anything that is harmful against Christ or against God or against the Word of God. We're supposed to be people that God and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God are the most important things in our lives. Now, some of you have known my wife, and I don't know of anybody I could have loved any more than I loved her, and there's not anybody that I love as far as a human being today as I still love her memory. But there's nobody that ever, after I gave my life to Christ, that was ever more important in my life than Jesus Christ. And I've got wonderful children like you have. I've got wonderful grandchildren like you have. I don't have any great-grandchildren yet. Maybe they're going to come along. But I don't love them more than I love Christ. And you should not love your loved ones any more than you love Christ. Now, there I go middling. But that's what Paul here is saying. He's saying that we're supposed to be in Christ. Listen to what he says in the scriptures that follow this that we read tonight. Listen to what he says. And I want to speak from the Word of God because that's the most important thing. Listen to what he says here. He said, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. He's talking about how he's struggling in his heart, in his mind, for the people in the city of Colossae, in the church at Colossae. They were having a struggle. They were living in a society much like we're living in today, where people were trusting in a lot of false gods and promoting false gods and doing things that were detrimental to the will of God, and they were having to live a life of a dedicated life unto God, and they were to be people that they really took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're supposed to do in the world today? Amen. Listen, my brothers, and this is a little digression. Listen to me. The Word of God says that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Don't let anybody else tell you anything else. I don't care who he is or who she is. I don't care how popular he is or she is. The way of marriage is between a man and a woman. Period. That's what God said. And don't let anybody tell you that homosexuality is something that God approves of. Don't let anybody tell you that, because it's wrong. And God says so. Not me, but God says so. His Word says so. That's a little digression. But that's something that in this world today, and I don't care where I go and I don't care who might be there, if I have an opportunity to tell them that those things are wrong, I'm going to do it. They may put me in jail. That's all right. But Paul got put in jail too, didn't he? But listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to take a stand for what Christ says. Not what the world says, not what our politicians say, not what our celebrities say, not what our popular sports people say. We have to stand up and say, this is what God says. And this is the Word of God. And Paul here is saying to the Colossians, because they had some of those things that they were fighting against, he's saying to them, you need to be people that you are, he says, I'm having a struggle because I know that you're facing these things. And then he goes on and says, I have this struggle for you and for those people that are in the Laodicea. And for all who have not seen me in person. He says, I'm struggling for all of you that are trying to proclaim the gospel. And he says to them, he says here, I want you, your hearts, to be encouraged and joined together in love so that you and they may have all the riches, and listen to this, all the riches of the assured understanding and have knowledge of God's mystery that is in Christ. And in Christ, in him, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are all found in him. So he says to these people, And God's word is saying to us, all the treasures, all the things that are worthwhile, all the things that are meaningful, all the things that are significant, all the things that have any real deep down meaning are in Christ. Amen. Not the things of the world. You know, I know some of you here, you love football, and you love baseball, and you love soccer, and you love basketball. But listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we go out and talk about those things amongst people, and we need to talk about Jesus? Amen. I mean, I'm not going to tell you who I root for. But I'll tell you this, I'm not a fan of Alabama. Even though I'm from Alabama at the point. But I'll tell you this, I'm not a fan of Auburn either. I'm really not a fan of any football team. I mean, I like the sport, but I'm not a fan of any of them. But we don't need to be. I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. He's the one I want to proclaim. He's the one I want to tell someone about. He's the one that can do things far greater than any of those football heroes. And I'm just saying that because that's the way I feel. But notice what he says here too. He says, not only this, he says, not only do you have all the riches that are available if you really are in Christ, he says, you are assured. And listen to that word. He said, you are assured of the understanding, and you have an assurance of the knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. Ooh. That's the best information you can have. There's nothing better. And notice what else he says here. It's cold chills running up and down my spine when he talks like this. Because the Spirit of God was speaking through him. He says to these people too, and the Word of God is saying to us, he's saying, I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the strength of your faith in Christ. He says, I say this because I want you to be in Christ. I'm praising God, he's saying, because you are in Christ. And you're standing firm for Christ Jesus. We can't stand firm for anything else. That's the most important thing to stand firm for. Let me mention something. The title here we have is Stop, Look, and Listen. Let me tell you something that maybe some of y'all have never experienced. When I was a kid, that's been a long time ago, I used to get on my bicycle and I'd ride down the gravel road that went down across the railroad tracks. And when I'd get down there, there was a man who had been retired from the railroad who had a little house there. And if there was a train coming, he'd get out with a sign and stand there and put stop, and it said stop. You know, we didn't have the flashing lights and the gates that come down, all the modern technology we have today. And I've come down that hill many times on my bicycle, and he'd be standing there with that sign. And I had to slide my wheels and keep from going out into that railroad track because there was a train coming. I didn't keep on going. I stopped. And if I even had to slide that bicycle and get a few little old rocks and skin places on me, I did, because I sure didn't want that train to hit me. Paul is saying here, stop. He's saying to these people, stop listening to what's going on in the world. Stop listening to what these people are arguing about and having to deal with in Colossae that are not right. Stop and listen. Stop and look and see what's going on and listen to the Word of God, is what he's saying to them. He's putting up a stop sign, isn't he? Amen. He's saying, stop looking at those things that are not important and start looking at the things that really are important. And then I think about not only that, I don't think about that, but I think about the times that I've been in places where I knew that I had to stop because if I didn't, I'd be dead. And if you don't, those kind of things have happened to me. And one time we stopped as we crossed over the Ruhr River in Germany. And we stopped because we had to, and if we hadn't, we'd all been dead. And I remember the time when I was on the police department in Columbus, Georgia, and we were facing a kind of a shootout, and the sergeant said, we don't need to get up there any closer. We need to stop right here. And we did, and none of us died. So when the red flag's up, when the stop sign's up, we need to stop, and we need to look, we need to listen. And when God's Word puts up a stop sign, we need to stop. We need to look into God's Word. And we need to do what God wants us to do. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. So are we really in Christ? Are we really letting Christ talk to us and do what he wants to do in our lives? Notice what else Paul says here. You know, Paul's one of my favorite ones. I love him. But Paul also says, and listen to what he says. There's so many things here that are so good. I can just come. What, can we stay here till about midnight? You know, Paul preached one time till midnight, and the fellow fell out of the window and died. And Paul went down, breathed on him, and laid on him, and healed him. Asked for healing, and the Lord healed him, and he come back to life. I don't think y'all want to stay here that long. But anyway, listen to what else he says here. He says, I am saying this so that no one will deceive you. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. We've already looked at that. But he says, therefore, you have received, if you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Remember, he says, if you have received Jesus Christ the Lord. He says, then walk in him. He says, if you're really a Christian, if Christ is really in you, if you're really what God wants you to be, walk with him.
Amen.
Walk in him. I like to think that he walks ahead of me. I really do. You know, when I'm in some kind of a precarious situation, I say to the Lord, Lord, go on and go ahead of me, because I know you can see a whole lot better than I can, and you can do a whole lot more than I can, and you go ahead of me. But I love walking in him, and I love walking following him. And Paul here is saying, walk in him. He doesn't say that. He says, be rooted up, and be rooted and built up in him, and be established in the faith. Now, he was talking to people who knew about rooting things. I'm not much of an agriculturist. When I was a kid, I had to plant potatoes in Pennsylvania, and I had to plant sugar beets, and I had to do all that kind of stuff because my granddaddy had a little farm. I didn't like it, but I understood that they had to be well rooted in the ground, or they would not come up. and they had to be nurtured and taken care of. And that's what Paul here is saying. He's saying, not only walk in Christ, but be rooted in Him. Be into Him deeply. Let your life and your things of your life go down deep into the inwardmost part of the power of the Spirit of God. Be rooted in Him, so that you might get the nutrition you need. You know, Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of John, He said, I think it's 15, where He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the branches that are rooted in Me, they flourish. The ones who are not rooted in Me, they're cast off and they're put in the fire. Isn't that right? And so here Paul is saying, you've got to be rooted in Jesus. You know what that means to me? That means I've got to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. That means I've got to spend a lot of time in prayer. And that means I've got to take everything to God in prayer. I even got to go to Him and say, Lord, I failed You today. And I need help. Have you been there? We all have. So He says, be rooted and be built up in Him. And not only does He say, be rooted and be built up in Him, but listen to what else He says here also. He says, be rooted and built up in the Lord, be rooted and built up in Him, and be established in the faith. Be established in your faith. Be established in your faith. In other words, that means turn everything over to Him and trust Him. Are you like I am? Sometimes I say to myself, I'm going to turn this over to God, and then I go out and do it on my own. Are you guilty? Amen? You are. I did something just recently. I asked God to do something for me, and that day I did it for myself, and you know, the next day I was really in a mess. Then I said, okay, Lord, I know, I should have waited on You. I should have waited on You. And I had to go back and apologize to somebody for something I did and ask forgiveness. So we as people need to be established in our faith. And He says that we ought to be established in our faith in Christ. So there again, He says, in Christ. He says we're to walk in Christ. We're to be rooted and built up in Christ. We're to have our faith in Christ. We're to be people that we are in Christ in everything we do. We ought to be so much like Christ that other people can see Christ in us. Jesus said, I want you to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And the light of Christ needs to shine through us. And if we're in Christ, the light will shine through us. And we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, which we're supposed to be that which helps preserve, because that's what salt does. And we need to be preserving as much as we possibly can. And what do we need to preserve? We need to get out and try to get people to give their lives to Jesus Christ so that they might be preserved. Amen. And notice what else He says. He says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, not only walk in Him and be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, and just as you were taught, be overflowing with thankfulness in Christ. Be overflowing with thankfulness in Christ. Thank Him. I don't know about you, but when I got off the plane on Friday afternoon, I was waiting to get my luggage. I said, thank you, Lord, you gave me a safe trip. Because, you know, he got me here. I mean, the pilot flew the plane, and the air control tower operators did their job, but the Lord gave them the ability to do it. So it was the Lord that got me here. I mean, it wasn't, I appreciate the pilot. I wouldn't want to get on a plane without a pilot. but still, no, you know, the Lord was the one who got me here. He's the one that got all of you here. The ones of you that came in on the highway and drove, you came in more danger than I did in the airplane. So where we need to be in Christ, that's what Paul is saying here. So let me go back to my original question. Have you really discovered that the will of God for your life, or are you not really in full completion of the will of God in your life? You know, most of you here are younger than I am, because I'm 85. I'm thankful for every one of those days, because the good Lord brought me through a lot of tough things. But you know something? We all ought to be thankful every night. When we go to bed, or when we get ready to go to bed, we ought to be thankful to the Lord for that day and thank Him for the next day if He's willing to give it to us. We need to be in Christ in everything we do. And people need to be able to recognize Christ in us. People need to be able to recognize Christ in us. That's what Paul was telling the Colossians here. He was saying to them, you need to be people that you're in Christ. You're walking in Christ. You're rooted and built up in Christ. You're really centered in your faith in Christ. And you are giving thanksgiving to Christ every day for His blessings. And he goes on and says, and this, I think we need to hear this too. Because he says, be careful that no one takes you captive through vain philosophy and vain and empty deceit based on human tradition. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I need to be careful. Just like Paul was recommending to these people to be careful. Even when we're in Christ, all the way in Christ, and doing what Christ wants us to do, we need to be careful of the world around about us. Because we're fighting against principalities and powers that we don't really realize we're fighting against. And we need to be people that we're careful that we don't give in to the vain philosophies and the vain, deceitful things that mankind wants us to give in to. We need to be people that those things are just nothing, and Christ is everything. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, I want to discover anew and afresh more of your will, and I think we all do. Help us, Almighty Father, to just draw ourselves closer and closer and closer and closer to you, so that we can learn more and more and more and more from you. May we turn off the world and the things of the world and really and truly turn on all the things that you would have us to turn on. We love you, Almighty Father. And we love you not only because of what you've done for us, but we love you because you make salvation available to all mankind if they'll only believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Almighty Father, we pray that we might be good examples, that we might be good witnesses, that we might just do everything that is in keeping with your will so that your light might shine through us and people would see that we are in Christ. And it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray.